Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Good morning to you all. Ian has gone away on a holiday and you're left with what they used to call the worn out ministers. That, believe it or not, was the name of the supernumerary fund before it was that, the retirement fund, worn out ministers fund. Break forth into joy, sing together, for the Lord has comforted his people, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. We come before God in prayer firstly. Lord, we know that where two or three are gathered together in your name, you are there in the midst. Be with us now as we hear your word, as we gather around your table, as we share in fellowship one with the other, that you may be in our midst to strengthen us, to strengthen our life, to strengthen our life as a community of faith, and send us forth into the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yours, Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory. For all that is in heaven and on earth is yours, and you rule over all. Lord, accept these offerings as tangible expressions of our love and gratitude. Touch them into life, that many may come to know of Jesus and his love. We pray in his name. Amen. Would you be seated as the children go out? Got to get me answers.
Moses writes this about the righteousness that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will ascend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And the second reading is from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. That's the word of the Lord.
And we will remain seated as we say this affirmation of faith from the Scriptures together. Now, if you go around this church, you'll see a lot of activity. Playgroups, North Ringwood Care,
after school programs, holiday programs, NRUC kids, we're talking about Mercy Church, youth groups, young adult studies, religious education in schools, Kids Hope, Breakfast Club, men and women's groups, friendship garden, social activity, prayer, faith sharing, medical sailing missionaries, overseas mission connections, I can't say it. What's the Bible project in? Yes, that's the place. I couldn't pronounce half the kids' names in my classes either. Music groups, preachers who go to many places to preach, people who work in the office and do other administration, people in special roles like the council and pastoral partners, people who fix up the building, gardeners, caterers, and there are many other roles, and I probably offended you by leaving out yours. Now, that is not a list of an inactive church, is it? That's a list of an active church. I've been here for 14 years, and I said in the conversation with Murray, that's the longest boy or adult I've been able to be anywhere. And some of that, you know, I went up to Wandon joyfully. Talking to Murray before, there were things in this congregation that it hasn't just started in recent years. It goes right back to the beginning and the planning for a church here in this district. Well, this is something to give God thanks for. For by no means this is how it is everywhere. Let's give God thanks for what we're able to be. Yet at the same time, remember that the smallest and simplest of congregations are also acting in faithfulness and faith. And in the Christian scheme of things, faithfulness trumps success. Faithfulness trumps success. We must give God thanks for this, what we live in this congregation. For by no means is this the way it is everywhere. But it is together that we are the body of Christ. It is together that we are gifted by the Holy Spirit. It is both true in our own lives and in the life of a people together. And it is the interrelationship of these gifts and callings which work together to make the church the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which has no doubt been preached many times. And the words from that chapter of Paul is used in rites of the Uniting Church, which set apart people for various ministries. There are many spirits, but each spirit has the gift that we're meant to use. But they often also include the words that God has never left himself without witnesses, and this is so in every generation. So people have been called in every generation to do the work of Christ, to spread the gospel, to build up the people of God in their nurture and fellowship and work for Christ. The church, that is the people of God in its fullest sense, is a living reality. Faith is not just knowledge about belief, and faith is something that is passed on from one generation to the other. I believe, like I was saying about John Wesley, that faith is seen, felt, and experienced as well as just a belief in the head. It is caught. It grows in us. We become people of faith by living amongst faith and by what Christ speaks to us as we nurture our own Christian life. It's been passed on from one generation to another, right back to those that sat at the feet of Jesus, right back to those who heard the word, "Come, follow me," right back to those who in the upper room heard Jesus say, "As the Father sent me, so I now send you. Receive the Holy Spirit." And who were so enthused by the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives that they were pushed, as the book of Acts shows us, to newer and newer places and situations. We might think we're discovering something for the first time, but ultimately, if you think about it, the faith is passed not necessarily in families, but from generation to generation, right back to Christ. The church is a living reality that goes through time. Now, in a time when we should be thinking about all that Ian and Elizabeth have been for us, because we know their ministry with us is coming to its conclusions sometime, for this church and its ministry, and anticipating what will be new and what will be, I thought it not inappropriate to share the thoughts that I'm going to share with you today. Firstly, a shocking thought. Does the church in general need ordained ministers? There are many ways in which a living church can organise its life. And in the New Testament itself, this does seem to be several variants of the way in which Christian communities organise their life. And several groups, even in our own time and in the centuries immediately past, have done this. But quite often what has happened in such groups is that leadership does develop, a grabbed leadership, a power-hungry leadership, an authoritative leadership, which is dangerous and not what it's meant to be, because leadership in the church or among the people of God is meant to be in the way of Christ. It's about making Christ known and doing his work. There were leaders in the New Testament and in the early church. The Bible is full of those who hear God's call and are sent. And in the New Testament, we commonly see sending out with laying on of hands in acknowledgement of God's call and praying for them, that praying for them to be empowered and directed by the Holy Spirit. Well, as one who was ordained in the Methodist Church, I want to sort of quote what that great big thick book of laws said. The Christian ministry is not to be regarded as a profession, but as a vocation, that's a calling, from Christ himself. The years of training and probation, which meant ministry before one was ordained, enables the church to judge the reality of the call. Ordination is the recognition of the call and the setting apart for lifelong service. As we were ordained, had our hands placed upon us, the words were given, "May make the preaching of the gospel your life's work in thoroughgoing service." Make it your life's work in thoroughgoing service. And the threefold ministry of word, of sacrament, of pastoral care are integrated. They're connected. This is how a minister is to care with others for his people or her people. Very hard to say, isn't it, at times when it wasn't there at the beginning. In nurture, in care, in building up the congregation as individuals and as a community, but they are also ministers of the whole church and are called to be missioned to all of the people around the community too. Put in another way, as a visible validation of what God has called us to be, a Christian minister and an evangelist. A friend of mine who happens to be a Baptist said, Well, it's really a triple call. A triple call. This is pretty good. He said there's the understanding that God is calling the person. There's the church's discernment, that is the whole church's discernment, that this is so. And then the congregation's call to be its pastor. Come share with us your particular gifts, that we serving together as the body of Christ, with Christ as our example, may share in the mission of Christ. Note that we are working as Christ as our example, as well as our strength. That is the model of all Christian ministry. The ordination doesn't make us different. It simply recognises a calling. But it does make us answerable to the church and to one another. As one now who is amongst the worn out ministers, what I would look for in a minister, and I'm having nothing to do with it, is faith, faithfulness and enthusiasm. One who lives the faith. And I was, when I was in Burke Presbytery, on the ministry committee, and amongst those who were ordained then was Alistair McRae, who, and by the way, our new moderator, Sharon Hollis, was in our Sunday school at Deloraine for a little while, and our former moderator, Dan Wooten, was in my church at Hurst Bridge. So, these things are great. Now, one of my favourite passages in the New Testament is John chapter 21. That's the last chapter about the lakeside, the risen Jesus at the Galilean lake. And one of the things that happens there is that Peter, who had denied Jesus three times, now with three questions clearly restores Peter's heart and mind to friendship and love. What has been shattered by the frightening path of the cross is now restored. Here, Jesus restores the call of Peter to the mission of Christ. And what follows there, we see in Acts, Peter standing up, is that he and others are changed people. Changed people. They are people of enthusiasm. They are people who are able to go out. In the threefold question and response, we hear Jesus use love in both of two senses. In the Greek New Testament, they use both agape and philia. That is, Jesus, when he's talking about, do you love me? He's talking about the active doing of good. And he uses the word philia, which is also affectionate friendship. So Jesus is using love in both those senses in this passage. Here Jesus calls for the caring of all his people, my sheep, my flock, but also especially the little ones, the children, and the vulnerable ones who need protection. And these words are not only relevant to those who have a special place in the church, but all of us in the church, and is the model of our pastoral care. Jesus has strong words to say about my little ones being led astray. And the model charge for ordination has a warning about any hurt by our actions or negligence. For goodness sake, if you are hurt by something within the fellowship of faith, do something about it, whether you think you are right or wrong. Don't let hurts fester. Remember, the church is a place of forgiveness, mutual acceptance and love. Jesus goes on to say, tend and feed my sheep. In other words, we are to care for them and to feed. That is what is necessary for our Christian growth. Now, there are several reasons why I've wanted to share this with you today. Firstly, I hope it hasn't been all self-indulgent, but this is a privileged calling, not always easy, but is one that has points of great joy. Secondly, Ian has definitely been a right minister for a right time in a right place. And we should let him know this. A man of faith who has faithfully served, who has love for the gospel and a passion for the mission of Christ. We share in an active church. When Ian and Elizabeth move to retirement, may they therefore go with gratitude, affection and blessing. The third point is, in a time of discernment for a new call, we trust that God is in the process. Whoever is called will not be the same as Ian and will thankfully not be like me, but will have gifts that we will discern and will lead us in some way which will not be the same. We are not employing somebody for a job, nor is somebody looking for a job, but we are asking God, is this the one you would have come and share the mission of Christ with us? Is this the one you would have come to share the mission of Christ with us? Fourthly, I've had much to say about the minister, but that's not where I started. In the service of Christ, in the way of Christ, we share our God's given gifts together. And one of the Reformation insights was that there's not two types of us. There's not the super special in orders and the rest of the people. No, every Christian is called to live for Christ in their daily life, in their role in the church, and in their daily work. And perhaps there are some where this is more obviously available than others, but if you think about it, that is available for us all, to live our life for Christ. And it is still true that God does specifically tap people on the shoulder for special ministries, which may come as something popped into our head, the word of a friend, the challenge at the church, in our time of devotion, in unfolding circumstances, in the opening or closing of doors, or in several of these things together. And often our first response is to resist. I'm not good enough. If you feel resistance and not good enough, the certainty is that you are being called. If it comes, I challenge you to prayerfully consider it, to talk it out, to drop your fishing nets and go where Jesus leads you. And whatever our calling, our greatest joy in Christ is to live for Christ and for Christ and to do that together. As the Father sent me, so I now send you. Last time I was up here, the same thing happened. Let us pray. Loving Father, we pray for your church throughout the world. May your Spirit rekindle its zeal and faith and draw us together as one. We pray for all ministers of the word that the good news will be proclaimed with joy and faithfulness. We pray for the life and mission of our congregation that we may be united in purpose and passionate in action. We pray for our homes and families and our places of work, education and relaxation, that in all we do and say, we may live for Christ. We pray for all who are in illness, distress or trouble, for your comfort and healing, and that we may be strengthened to reach out to all in need. And we pray for those whose needs are especially known to us. Come, God of salvation, with the gift of grace, forgiving, redeeming, and healing. come into our lives, cast out our sin, create in us clean hearts. Come with your gift of love, that we may be active in love, for you, one another, and for all people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
After the blessing, we're going to sing a song, Shalom. They'll sing it and you can join in, but then we'll sing it three times, and I want you to hold hands as a sign of peace with one another. We go out into the world in the power of the Holy Spirit, remembering that everything you do, say, and whatever, wherever you are, Christ is with you. Make your life your worship to the love and service of Christ. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.